Shalom, Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol mekshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach Betoch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, it has been my good fortune to have traveled extensively in many countries of the world, and naturally, this has brought me into numerous large and important cities such as New York, London, Calcutta, Athens, Edinburgh, Rome, Paris, Jerusalem. Invariably, it has been my pleasure to visit the great art galleries, wherein are hung the large and imposing portraits of the great men of history. I recall a visit to the Hotel de Ville, or Hotel de Ville, in Brussels. There, adorning the walls of a great gallery, suspended side by side in impressive sequence, hung the immortal likenesses of Belgium's notables, their illustrious faces having the appearance of scanning in retrospect the scenes and circumstances which had made them famous. Have you ever thought what a wonderful gallery of illustrious individuals our Jewish holy scriptures would provide? Suppose we had a hall of honor, wherein hung genuine, authoritative portraits of the notables of the Bible: Adam, Eve, Seth, Noah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon. How we would gaze, transfixed with interest, into their faces. Think of it, a biblical hall of honor. My friends, do you know that there really exists just such a hall of honor? Yes, indeed, a biblical hall of honor. However, it isn't a building. It is in a book. Moreover, the portraits are not painted on canvas and framed in wood. They are painted in words and framed in faith. Indeed, it is faith that has made them famous. Now, you are curious to know whose portraits appear. Very well. Shall we walk round the gallery? Why, the very first portrait is that of Abel. Let us read the inscription beneath the picture. Here it is: In faith, Abel offered to God a greater sacrifice than Cain. How remarkable! Not the achievements of force, but the attitude of faith, secured for Abel the honored position of being first in this biblical cavalcade of celebrities. Whose portrait is this displayed alongside that of Abel? My friends, we are looking into a very wonderful face. It is that of Enoch, of whom it is written, In faith Enoch was translated without experiencing death. What a stupendous experience. Just think of it. What power in faith to cheat death of its prey. Beneath Enoch's portrait, inscribed by the hand of the Divine Spirit, are these words: Now without faith it is not possible to please God. Well, that's a lesson worth learning, isn't it? Ah, here are some august individuals more familiar to us: the patriarch Noah, then our father Abraham. Of course, we would expect to find his portrait here, for our great teacher Moses declares of Abraham that Abraham believed in the Eternal, and the Eternal accounted this faith shown by Abraham as righteousness. See Rashi and Sforno on that particular theme. The impressive likenesses of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses follow in sublime sequence. Beneath Moses' portrait are these words: In faith he kept Pesach, Passover, and the daubing of blood. Ah, this is interesting. Here follows the picture of a woman. I wonder who it could be among this galaxy of the great. Perhaps Deborah or Hannah, Come, let us identify her. Is this possible? It seems incredible, but there is no mistaking the designation. It is clear and emphatic. In faith, Rahav did not perish with the disobedient, because she received the spies peaceably. Will you grant me your gracious indulgence to enable me to employ a rather indelicate word? Without the liberty of frankness, it would be impossible either to measure the magnitude of this unexpected inclusion or to assess the circumstances giving it warrant. My friends, Rahav was a harlot. Here, included among these honorable ones, is Rahav the harlot. A harlot in the hall of honor? How did she gain inclusion in such distinguished company, and her memory thus honored in a scripture volume which has been rightly entitled A Homily to the Hebrews? Well, if we are to find out how the harlot got into the hall of honor, we must first discover her as she originally was in the house of dishonor about 3,500 years ago. You will remember that in my last two messages I had left you standing with Moses' successor, Joshua, in the plain of Shittim, east of Jordan. Joshua, now happily possessed of his divine mandate, faces toward his first military objective, the city of Jericho, the most important Canaanite fortress, commanding the chief approaches to central Palestine. Archaeological discoveries at Jericho reveal traces of the most revolting heathen practices. In addition, the pagan shrines of Astarte had their retinues of sanctified prostitutes, and the fortress city abounded in women of the courtesan type. Rahav was of this unhallowed company. News of the approach of the Israelites had spread like wildfire, and Rahav was well acquainted with their chronicles of conquest, even so early as the parting of the Red Sea for the exodus out of Egypt. It was to this city, wherein resided this woman of unenviable reputation, that General Yeshua, Joshua, unknown to the people, dispatched two spies upon a preliminary reconnaissance. It was a very dangerous mission, involving a stealthy journey of some 8 miles. The setting sun was just splashing the surrounding limestone mountains with daring darts of splendor as the two spies passed through the gates of the city. Wisely, they avoided proceeding to any public hostelry, but, disguising their true objective under the cloak of an unworthy purpose that would nevertheless win speedy sympathy and understanding in so degraded a city, they found their way to the house of Rahav the harlot, as the gates of the fortress closed behind them. However, their entry into Jericho had not passed undetected. Neither had their identity and intention been unsuspected. And counter-spies were soon set upon the spies, and they were tracked down to Rahav's domicile of degradation. But a light was beginning to dawn upon the darkened spiritual horizon of this heathen woman. Although safe behind the apparently impregnable walls of perhaps the strongest fortified city in Canaan, and in dire personal peril should she fail to deliver up her two guests, she nevertheless made a momentous decision. Ignoring immediate natural appearances, apparently so favorable to herself, she decided to take her stand with the servants of the living God, whom she had now come to acknowledge. Accordingly, she misdirected the counter-spies and aided the escape of Yeshua's two scouts. For this, she was promised immunity from destruction, provided she exhibited upon her house the same scarlet cord with which she had let the twain down over the fortress wall. The pledge was kept on both sides, and Rahab and her household were saved, and her moral faith won her fame where her immoral frailty had once earned her shame. She is not praised for her falsehood, but for her faith. And not just faith as a quality, but rather faith in the eternal God and Yeshua, the one whom he sent upon the divine mission rendered necessary by sin's dark stain. My friends, we would commit a great folly if we did not see the rich symbolism behind this historic event. As I have already indicated, Joshua is also named Yeshua, Jesus, and Rahab's visible token of her inward faith was a scarlet cord. Scarlet is the color of blood, and blood is the token of redemption. Just as surely as God sent Moses' successor, Yeshua, to deal with the sins of Canaan, so surely did God send Moses' greater successor, Yeshua, to atone for the sins of Israel and all the world. Happy is the Jew or Gentile whose individual faith in the efficacy of Messiah's blood atonement appears in the eyes of heaven like the crimson cord of mutual pledge, granting eternal immunity from judgment and the inclusion in the gallery of honor of divine grace. Yiverecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.